think a cappella is the way to go. With some of you know Dona Nobis Pacem. It's a Catholic chant that is really ancient. And it is addressed to the God of the Catholic knowing. And for those among us who, for whom that doesn't have meaning, when we ask for help, when we ask for peace, it's about opening ourselves up to receive whatever assistance, whatever peace, whatever healing is available among our community and in our universe. And so if you would sing together as a meditation, and I'm going to invite you to stay seated for this. And you are free to just listen if you'd prefer. And those of you who know how to harmonize or how to do this in a round, join in. It is on, if those of you who'd like to read it. Thank you, Gretchen, 388. Dona, is that all right? Nobis, maybe too high. Dona nobis pacem pacem dona nobis 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 pacem. One more time. Dona nobis pacem pacem. So if we breathe in love, we can try to breathe out peace.
The only word that I recognize is peace.
Dona nobis means give us. Dona nobis pacem. Dona nobis pacem. That's right. You're welcome. So try it. Breathe in the love of this community. It's real. Breathe in the support of this community. It's real. Breathe out the gifts you have to give. Breathe out peace. We come together after a long while apart. Never has this particular constellation of people been together before, and it will never again in this particular way. We will be different people the next time, different members among us. Some of us will not be here the next time. We are part of a very, very long story of the universe. We're part of a very long story. And we're part of that story coming together within ourselves, stories of joy, of brilliance, of discovery, of pain, of conflict, confusion, curiosity, hopefulness, despair, and determination. Our stories across each row are not the same, but each story in each of us is an important part of who we are together. It's part of why we come together, to hear each other's stories, to know one another at levels that are, it's difficult to come to in much of the world around us. So for each of us, with all the particular differences in our stories, we're an important part of learning together, growing, and finding what is most meaningful, beautiful, and worthy in our lives, particularly when the world feels like such a mess sometimes, to find and focus on the meaningful and the beautiful and who we are together is a real gift. So maybe our presence here today and our connection to one another and the hundreds each of us is connected to beyond these walls. Maybe together we can bring some more love into the world, into our homes. Maybe we can bring more compassion into our communities, our little townships, our schools, our jobs. Maybe we can bring more peace for all those who are able to allow peace in. So we breathe in love, and we breathe out peace. May it be so. We come together because we love this place. We love each other. We get irritated with each other. But we're determined to figure out how to live together in beloved community with our differences. This is a grand idea, not practiced in very many places. It is a worthy idea. And our Unitarian Universalist faith has an idea we want to carry through into the future for our children's children's children, that of having the freedom and the responsibility to find truth as we can experience and understand it. And then to live our beliefs in the world together. So right now is the time we take to collect our morning's offerings to support that vision and that intention in the world.
So glad you're here.
We are definitely. I was just going to say, you know, we don't do this every Sunday, but I think a round of applause for Pam's calluses, for her heart, for her skill, her dedication.
Did we embarrass her?
Thank you, Pam.
I hope so.
So one of the things that this congregation does is some ritual. Some of those rituals includes the water that you see up here that people can drop stones into, the water representing life, that we are dropping our story into this life of the unknown, of the mystery, of support. I just learned, by the way, this summer. I turned 60 and I learned how to float. Isn't that amazing? I should have put that in a joy. That was an amazing thing. I know. It's not too late at all. No, no, no. There you go. So the water holds us as well. I think everything's okay out there. So we use this water for our joys and sorrows. We use this water when we have baby dedications, when we as a community promise to hold the children with love and intention in our community. We use this water when other people have particular rituals that are helpful to them, that require the unknown, the sense of the universe being present. And so, part of our ritual on the first Sunday back together again at the end of the summer is to bring some water and tell each other what it means to you and a little bit about where it came from. And I didn't see a lot of vials of water walking in. There's one. Who else has a vial of water? There's two. There's three, four, five. Awesome. Six. All right. So for those of you who forgot but have this image of the water that's so important to you, it might be in the pond or it might be in your kitchen sink. But water that is meaningful to you and something about why. And just a little bit of it. So I have a quart of water, some of which came from, I'll show you.
I go, it's my mecca, honestly. So there's water in here that's seawater, and there's water in here that's from the Hudson River. And so on top of that, George was gracious enough to fill it with tap water. All the same water, folks. So if you have water in your mind that you forgot to bring a bit, little bit of, use this. What we're going to do is place our additional sacred water into this bowl, and I will place this knowing how much the Bay of Fundy is part of who I am, for whatever reason, it just is. And so I will move this closer, in fact, on the floor. And one at a time, feel free to come forward or line up the same way you would for joys and concerns. And I'll give you a microphone. This is not really what I did in my summer, but it's sort of. Tell us how it's meaningful to you. Oh, I know. Very important.
Hi. Excuse me. This is symbolic water.
Would
from
you say your name?
Oh, Elaine Zwick. This is symbolic water from Long Pond in Plymouth. It is one of the most, and it's also from our tap, and has pretty much the same meaning of love, peacefulness, and joy.
Oh, right here.
Right here.
Oh, sorry. So you got to be the first one to make a mistake.
I'll leave you to the next person. There you go.
Hi, I'm Pam. This is water from Carol Ellis's tap, because I forgot to bring some from my work. So it's a dual joy. It's for the joy of friendship and also for the new job that I have at the Unitarian Church in White Plains, which is so much better than the last job I had, I can't say. And I'm very grateful for that community and to be more involved in UU's.
Hello, Kevin again.
So this is also from my tap, but it goes through our filter system. And right before Lucas, as soon as we found out Lucas was born, I went and bought a used system on eBay, one of those like seven stage blah, blah, blahs, because I had friends in Orange County who sold these things. And it really made a change. The taste is incredible, and I love water. And I often, when I'm drinking it, realize how grateful I am that I have something this clean. But also, if anybody's ever interested, I know you should check out eBay. Sells very, very good water cleaning systems. Water is the most precious thing. And one quick story, when I went to Chicago for a year, I came back in February, and my cousin said, "What do you want to do?" And I went straight to Jones Beach because of how much I love the water. Should I put it all in there? I don't want to overfill it.
Hello, this is 100% Chicago water, and a beautiful and exciting city, but also a city that has had a tremendous amount of pain in recent times. So, for Chicago.
I'm going to use some of your symbolic water.
Go for it.
Because I forgot mine. We went to Cape Cod this summer.
Did you say your name?
Lauren. And we went to Cape Cod this summer, and walking along the beach, we could see the seals in the water. And it was just really special to see them right on the water. You know, we did do a whale watch, but it was just walking along the beach. So.
Hi, I'm David. This is sacred water from what I consider to be a very sacred invention, in my opinion, called an air conditioner. It's exhaust water from one of our window units, and it's a symbol of what has helped keep me, at least, pretty comfortable in what has been, at times, a very uncomfortable summer weather-wise. And what I'm also going to do is put it in a teeny drop at a time, because that's about how the water has been coming out of the sky this summer here. We're in a moderately severe drought right now, and our backyard is a crisp. A lot of the plants are just crisped out. Definitely dry summer since we've been living here. So I'm going to just start with a couple little drops, because that's how it's been coming all summer long.
Hi, I'm Gretchen. If I remembered the water, it would have been for my dog bowl, because my dog's rear legs don't work anymore. But if I bring the water to him, he'll drink it. And I have this little harness that looks like a duffel bag. I pick him up. So this is for my dog, Spence. It would have been the tap water.
Carol again. This water's for my kitchen sink, and I feel very glad to have it, because as many of you know, I've had periods in my not too distant past when I was kind of drifting around from here and there, from home to home. So I'm very glad to have a home and a kitchen sink, and also this little container that I have it in is something that I sometimes keep coffee in, because it's easier to get it every day than to get it out of the bag with my thumb, which I broke at the beginning of the summer. So I've been keeping the coffee in here. And I had some health issues for the last while, which seem to be much better now, and I can drink coffee again, which I couldn't for a long time. So I'm so happy that I can drink coffee, because, you know, we know life is all about coffee.
Do you want me to hold that?
So we also forgot our water. I'm Brian, this is Melissa. We're gonna put in some symbolic water from also the Cape. We went there to Chatham this June to celebrate our 30th anniversary. Yeah. It's a special place to us because the very first vacation we ever took together before we were married was to Chatham, and we were poor as dormice, but Melissa found this little motel and we stayed there for 4 or 5 days back when we were really youngsters and had a fabulous time. And this was really the first time that we've gone back to the Cape for vacation since. And it was an amazing thing because it's a special place. So we spent one amazing afternoon crossing the jetty in Provincetown. It's a stone jetty that you can basically go from Provincetown across to essentially Barrier Beach with a lighthouse and then back again. And it was nice because we were out there kind of on the water all by ourselves. And so it was a special week for us.
And secondarily, I want this water to be symbolic of all the lakes and rivers and streams and swamps that Freya got to wallow in this summer because it was so hot. Yeah. So we always try to find some water for Freya. Yeah.
Not everybody knows who Freya is.
Freya is our German Shepherd, and she's very hairy and she's very hot. So we try to let her cool off whenever we can.
Hi, I'm Ingrid Smith again. This is from my tap, but I actually put a shell in it for my favorite beach, so it's been like steeping like tea, you know, for the past couple of hours. I went to the beach a lot this summer, and I was in Florida, and I was in Cape Cod, but my place where I really do relax the most is in Topsail Island, North Carolina, which is a southern barrier island. We've been going there for about 25 years, almost every year, and it is just a place where you just can't imagine that you can get anything done during the day the rest of the time that you're around. I was like, I can't even get it up around to go to the store. How do I ever have a job? But, you know, it's funny you come back and you've managed to pull it together. But anyway, it's a beautiful place. I love it there, and I hope to live there one day. I'll take the shell out.
So I would have had water because I went to Florida this summer and spent a week sailing with my Boy Scout troop out on the water. And on my last day, I took a little disposable Poland Spring bottle and got a little bit of salt water and ocean water. And on my way back, the TSA...
Hi, I'm Susan, and every year I bring back water from Head of the Meadow in Cape Cod because that is my power beach to be on and my mystic beach to be on, but I forgot to do it, so I'm going to use the Bay of Fundy water, and it's very cool to use that water because I think Moby Dick probably swam there. And the other thing I want to use this water for is the Hudson River water, which yesterday I spent time at a poetry workshop where we wrote poems about the Hudson River, which was very, very wonderful.
Hi, I'm Dan. I'm Dan, and my wife Amy and daughter Ellie are outside. And I obviously didn't bring any water because I never come here before, so I didn't know I needed to bring water. But we spent a lot of this summer at Barger Pond, which is right around here. And my mother lives during the summer, spends a lot of time at Three Arrows, where she's a member. So my daughter is learning to swim there. So I'll use some Bay of Fundy water for Barger Pond.
That's my neighbor. So this is tap water, but it's indirectly from Lake Mayopac. And even though it doesn't have any deep meaning, I'm just glad I remembered to read the email and that I remembered to bring the water so that I could participate.
I will use the Bay of Fundy water also. But this summer, I swam, and when I swim, I'm just in my element. And I swam in Lake Champlain, which was amazing. And I swam at, we went to Cape Ann. And we looked out in the ocean, and we could walk to the ocean from where we were. The water was really cold, but I ventured in it three times, and it was so invigorating. So this is symbolic of both of those waters. And I also, just when I think about water, I think about all around the globe, where, we are so blessed in this country that we can, you know, get fresh water from our tap and drink it or bathe in it. And so I'm just also thinking about, you know, India and so many different parts of different countries where we just take for granted clean water, it isn't. So I just want to say that. So anyway, maybe that can be also symbolic of the water here.
I'm Bob. I guess it's been about 18 years. We went to Cape May at the last minute. The only place that had any opening was a Grand Hotel. They have a lot of rooms. And we went there a number of years. But their service went down. No more morning coffee. You can't get water anywhere. And their prices went up. So we went to a different place, La Mer, and we got a condo, which meant that my wife could watch TV in her room or just sleep, and she didn't have to try and sleep while I was watching CSI Miami. And my daughter had her own room. If she didn't like what was on, she could go and do what she chose there. And Rebecca calls it happy time. She's out in the sun, and she has friends from southern New Jersey that come down with their two little girls and another friend from northern Delaware that come up to visit, and who has two girls also, but she usually comes for a girl's night out. The two of them go out on the town. And what delights me is being able to go by the jetty and read my book. I don't know why, but somehow I don't manage to read as much as I like, but there, that's the highlight of my time, not to mention going out to eat. So this is for Cape May, which is a machaya, or a blessing and a relief when we go. We'll be going the second week in July. We have reservations. The additional joy is an arts and crafts vendor display on the boardwalk. So we go, and that's fun too.
So I'll continue to add water for all the other places that are a machaya. Did I say that right? A machaya?
Yes.
Machaya. A blessing. A bone in my throat is not a blessing, but a machaya is. Sacred places, places of restoration, places of resilience, maintaining life. Thank you all. So I was going to tell you a story, and I think I'm going to take a 10-minute story and squish it into three, see what happens. For my said 60th birthday, one of the things that I asked my family to do was to come with me on a ride on the Croton, the Clearwater sloop, so that their participating with me would contribute to the Clearwater sloop is representative of and was actually the schoolhouse that Pete Seeger started that went up and down the Hudson River to help clean the Hudson River and educate people to love the river. So I had five members of my family, including my two parents, mom who chose to use a wheelchair, which is a first ever because this is like a 100-foot boat, something like that, with a wood surface, not terribly stable for everybody. And Dad was there and a couple of other people. And so we went, even though there were storm warnings, thunderstorm warnings, called them up. Nope, we don't cancel for weather predictions. We only cancel if there are sheets of rain and if there's thunder. So hurricane, they would cancel for it too, I'm sure. So we go. It is dark, dark, dark. Layers and layers and layers of gray clouds. We get onto this boat with another probably 60 people, and we push out, motor out into the river. This is down by Storm King. And then every single one of us of every age is involved in either haul. These ropes are this big. It took every one of us to stand along the ropes and pull. Pardon? Lines, thank you. I'm not a seaworthy person. So we would haul the lines, but we sang them to a song, and Mom and Dad helped sing the song, but we sang together in order to pull those lines. And they pulled up, those lines pulled up, the fourth largest sail in the Northern Hemisphere, necessary to catch the tiniest puff of wind going up the Hudson River, which is the sloops are what brought the goods from the mouth of the river up to Albany Way. And so these sails are massive. So we haul these sails up, and there are kids, and there are adults, and there are people of all ages. We're hauling and hauling and hauling. These beautiful three sails are up, and we all notice they're not doing anything. They're completely still. So we start drifting downriver. We're totally luffing and just sitting on the water. But then the volunteers who were in charge of the boat said, okay, now we're just going to tell stories. We're going to learn from each other. We're going to look at the mountains and see what happened there. That was the first environmental case held against, etc. And so they told all these stories, showed us a river eel. I mean, and we were luffing. We just sort of drifted down with the tide. And then we saw West Point. And then it was time to come back up again. The captain, a woman, used the motor to send us back up. What I saw on the way up, actually, they asked us to have a moment of silence for everybody to just stop talking for a minute and just look around at the water, at the hills, at the beads of clouds and fog that were lining every single piece of mountain and hill and the clouds up above us. And they said, just take a moment of silence and appreciate the gift of this life. I was amazed. We all were silent, and we all felt that beauty. And then they sang with us, and they helped us all sing, if I had a hammer, you all know that from Pete Seeger, I'd hammer in the morning. And then we continued to motor back, and 5 minutes before the landing, sheets of rain, which would have canceled the trip. Sheets and sheets. You couldn't see that much further. You know, it's sheets and sheets of rain. And they pull in, and we're all laughing and telling stories, helping each other up because it was slippery as all get out. And some of us, including myself, were saying, I cannot wait to do that again. I thought about this congregation and our life together as that kind of a seaworthy ship, that unexpected things happen. It requires every single hand to pull on the lines. It requires stopping to note the beauty and what sustains us. It requires singing. It requires hauling. It sometimes requires getting wet all the way down to your skivvies. Not yet. We haven't done any baptisms here yet. The long and the short. I am so grateful. I suppose I could fit one foot in that water. I am grateful, as I know you are, for a community of people who are willing to take the risk to be on a journey together. We don't know the outcome. We don't know what's ahead, but we do know that it is worthy of us to come together and try to live together what we say we believe. It is worthy of us to take the time to figure out for ourselves how do we restore what we know will help us bring meaning into our lives and help us stay the course. And so I am so grateful for you all today and for my being able to be here. And I know we have a few more minutes. So what I'd like to do is ask, for those of us who don't know, we have coffee hour together afterwards, and we're all recruited to haul the chairs to the sides, but we'll keep some of those chairs in a circle up front for parents and adults who are going to stay after coffee hour and have pizza and talk about religious education.